Welcome to Scouting for Growth. I'm joined today by Sébastien Godin, CEO and co-founder of The Care Voice, an embedded health tech, insurtech platform that has grown fast to become a leader in its category. Care Voice is first across Asia and now also in the Middle East and Latin America. Through its open platform, Care Voice OS, Care Voice delivers a modern insurance infrastructure solution to connect and manage multiple health services providers to shape bespoke health and engagement journey for micro customer segments. Sébastien's mission is to reinvent the healthcare and insurance spaces, merging the two worlds to deliver tailored experiences for insurers and payers. During our discussion, Sébastien and I will be covering the recent category paper we wrote. The title of the paper is Embedded Health, the Next Growth Frontier for Insurance. You will be able to find the paper on Care Voice website, Alchemy Cruise website, and Center Global website. We will also discuss why embedded health is so important a topic for the health and insurance spaces today. What are the winning business models we have seen emerge in recent years? What are the top categories or capabilities needed to build a digital health ecosystem? Note that on this podcast, you will hear Sébastien's lovely little friends from nature and the Asian countryside. Hope you won't mind. So let's get started. So Sébastien, thank you so much for being with me today. So first, it would be great if you could give us a little bit of background about who you are, what got you into health tech, insurtech, and where do you see our world going moving forward?
Hi, Sabine. It's true. I study more from the incumbent world. I think my first 12 years were in the top leading global pharma company, and with a doctor in pharmacy as academic background and graduated from a leading business school, it was very promising back in 2002 to move in that sector for advancing healthcare, also to adopt more global mindsets and experience across a number of markets like US, Europe, and Asia. My early experience in tech was back actually in the year 2000, in the beginning of internet. I launched a website. It was a student-led initiative for the recruitment of medical professionals in France, my home country. Then later on in the pharma, I did launch a number of drugs in cardiology. I also helped doctors and patients with diabetes to improve, you know, their stickiness and the effect of their drugs. So through that, I drove a number of digital-based marketing or educational initiatives. But actually really coming in China 10 years ago was really an acceleration. Back in 2013, we created between that pharma company and a local company, a JV, to launch one of the very first diabetes management platform. And back then, digital health was very, very nascent, right? So being in China, a land of opportunities with also many challenges, healthcare transformation, privatization of healthcare, very fast-paced market. So that's how I started Care Voice in Shanghai, with back then the vision of creating a global leading digital health company. And later on, with our pivot more in the insurtech space.
And so you already mentioned that you moved from the incumbent world to the health tech, insurtech world. What are the key criteria or what really excites you within the tech world, the new world of technology and business?
I think it's just like you realize that the change in the traditional world, right? When you are in the pharma, you know, the ability to really to impact ultimately the patients who have a very key role in improving his health, because he needs to understand his disease, he needs to understand his treatment, he needs to take a proactive step, and the stakeholders around him have to make it happen. This is difficult if you have many layers before being able to have an impact on the final beneficiary of improving itself. So technologies, you're okay. Can you have a shortcut, right? Can you really impact more and faster people and their health.
So tell us, define for us, what does embedded health mean?
Yeah, so actually it's really a result of number of elements in my experience. I think I just mentioned from a healthcare background, I do value a lot patient-centered care, you know, looking at, again, the patient from a broad perspective, multiple stakeholders. From my China exposure, you know, digital ecosystem, customer-centered, service-oriented approaches are everywhere, right? And you create more value and relevance if you aggregate services for people. So 5 years ago, when we started to work with insurers, we helped them to go beyond being a passive payer of claims, right? And taking a more proactive role. First was really helping their customers navigate, find the right medical services at the right time. And later on, quite quickly, we realized the importance of completing a loop of digital-based health services to help people when they are sick and going, you know, from symptom checker, delivery of medicine, integrating with TPA for reimbursement of the claim and so on. And step by step, then we realized, okay, it's interesting to drive adoption of new technologies, new value, and back then our tech stack and an ecosystem for health and wellness to work with insurers in launching new population-specific insurance. By doing so, we realized that we were opening new distribution channels, new ways for insurers to commercialize products, you know, be a startup with co-working, be a gym booking for sport enthusiasts and so on. So all these experiences have led to really what I do see now as this category of embedded health. It's really about being able to provide to targeted customers a range of relevant digital-based health services together with their insurance, be health, life, or even other lines, right, in a one single integrated customer experience. And that digital experience can be hosted in insurer app, super app, or in any online business that is keen to embed health service and insurance for their customers.
So you already mentioned that to deliver embedded health, you need embedded health services. Can you tell us a little bit more as to how do you think the customer journey is being reinvented with digitized capability and how you believe that large companies, which I think many of them are some of your clients, can reinvent the way they interact and engage with existing and new customer segments?
Yeah, I think if we look at you know, a typical customer journey, right? Most of the time people they don't necessarily know what they have. If they have a health issue, they're gonna go to their maybe usual GP or someone recommending, you know, a peer professional for them, and then they start to have a kind of, you know, potentially lengthy, complicated journey for healthcare, or it can be very straightforward, figure out what they have and get access to treatment. But usually you have multiple layers and it's not so transparent for individuals to access this healthcare. All right, so if you start to think about bringing that experience into a digital customer journey, you can really support people along the way, right? Earlier on, to figure out, maybe have early signals of issues that they may have, and they have an easier way to maybe, you know, raise a flag or say, you know, something that doesn't know doesn't wrong doesn't work that well. They can have some indication of potential issues. They can check. They can have a recommendation of relevant expertise. Easy access online to medical professional experts, or so that then you really that's streamline the first kind of diagnosis to help people to get the relevant opinion, and then it's a matter of also, you know, how does it work for you for your reimbursement, right? Many people can get also caught by issues about being able to be protected and covered by some issues. So if you have visibility on how you know, which medical professional, which treatment are going to be covered, what's going to be your self-pay, helping you to make decision on that front, I think it's also something that digitally enabled solution can really change the way people access healthcare. And then it could be ongoingly, right? Some diseases require, ongoing access to medicine. So, easier delivery so that you don't have to move around, or follow-up visits, follow-up check. This can happen digitally. So you really make it more convenient and efficient for people. So that's really more on the example on a very medical-oriented journey. But I think the lots of wins also can happen in the prevention side. I think you can help people to adopt healthier behavior and realize what are the gaps in the way they live. And I think more and more people aspire to live longer, live healthier, taking active steps for instance. I see what we went through with COVID, just an acceleration for that. So, helping people to realize, to identify what they want to improve, how they can improve, and give them access to relevant resources would really change.
Interesting. So as we actually going into, we've already started talking about embedded health and how health services work. Can you give us a little bit of a definition of why and how everything connects together? Embedded health is connected to embedded insurance, which has been connected to embedded finance. And where we are today is really through the lessons we learned from the embedded finance world. Can you tell us a little bit more how all those bits connect together and what we've learned from one to bring some of that thinking into healthcare or health?
Yeah, I think it's interesting to make a parallel with embedded finance, really looking at a more mature and relatively adjacent sector, right? So embedded finance have been quite booming in the past 5+ years and integrating as part of non-bank, non-financial service players, traditional services, services that used to be offered traditionally by those incumbents, right? Whatever, loan, credit assessment, payments. And then if you look at embedded insurance, which is a subset, also developing very fast. And here is really about integrating as part of a product or service offering an insurance component, right? Let's say I buy a flight ticket and I get an insurance for the delay of that flight, or I rent my apartment and I get a whole set of services and an insurance that's going to help me in case, or even to prevent any trouble that may have at home, right? So now looking at embedded health, I think there are many three scenarios, and in the back, the embedded finance and insurance that are interesting to mention. First is about insurers, right? Insurers really making the move to embed health services with their insurance offering, and then prevent or influence positively what may happen before a claim. Then you may think also about health players, right, who can embed insurance and likely complementary health services to bring more value to their customers, bring a protection for their customers, but also all at once with a monetization interesting model for what they offer as service. And last but not least is non-insurance, non-health players who can also think about embedding health services and insurance as complementary product offering and revenues. I think health now is prevalent. People have such needs, and many players are relevant to step in that space.
Thank you, Sebastian. And so when you look at some of the tech players which are there, do you have a good example for us to think about of organization you are really impressed or inspired by the way they combine their capabilities to help us gain benefit or help us understand how embedded works?
Yeah, I think we it's still an early category. I would say we've been seeing for the past 3-5 years a number of players emerging. And indeed, there are now interesting ones. And I can mention two, but again, there are multiple examples, especially in this recent category paper we issued. But I would say Alan is very interesting. Why Alan? First, it's a French company, like my nationality, joking. But more seriously, I think it's a great example of a digital native insurer for health insurance. And they've been very early on embracing complementary digital-based health services with their insurance portfolio, medical network navigation, telemedicine, mental health. And this is not only a marketing thing, right, or to differentiate themselves. So if you look at many of the digital insurer players, have been caught by high cost of acquisition, but also high loss ratio. The more they grow, the more they burn. So but quite interesting to see Alan early on taking an active step on prevention and guiding their policyholders to more cost-effective solutions. And that already, I think, reflects in Ireland financials and recent very large financing round. So that's one. And if you go, you know, towards more the US, interesting to pick up also that market where they have a very special situation with self-insured employers. And actually many players are in this space, and collective health is one of them. And why this one? I think also, again, early on, they adopt more a concierge approach, right? Curating valuable health technologies, health services that could really make a difference for the employers and their staff in terms of health value. So I think these are both players in the health insurance space. I think we'll see more and more tech players in the life space adopting embedded health. I think it's a bit similar to what we've seen in the incumbent world, right? More health insurers started to embed health services with what they were doing. And now I think also more and more life are making the move.
And so when you look at, you know, the young player, digital savvy, often developing greenfield applications, you know, from either top down or bottom up to actually service either users or incumbent players. What have you seen as the main challenges that has been, you know, probably noted from your, you know, journey at CareVoice as to how to get the incumbent to embrace some of this new thinking, either from a technology viewpoint or a business viewpoint or service new customer segments?
Yeah, I think the opportunities that have been opening up, right, with this wealth of digital health boom, right, the number of technologies that can impact people's health. That's true that the digital native players that I've just mentioned were most suited to embrace this, right, the ability to then combine valuable health services and insurance. And most of the incumbents have been struggling because of just the lack of digital capabilities, right? And the challenge of integrating an ecosystem, because you need to look at different components to be able really to make a difference for people's health, right? It's not just about it's not about just your insurance offering. You have to open up to a total new world around health space, and if you have to deal with many third party technologies. It's a true challenge just from a partnership perspective, but just and then from a ultimately from a tech integration standpoint. So I think few example and I can pick up two which could be interesting because they're like very very distinct. One would be more an incumbent going full speed on build, right, on building their own ecosystem, and this is Ping An Good Doctor, and I think most of people would agree that there is only one Ping An in the world in terms of insurance players. And Ping An Good Doctor, you know, it's why this one, it's also a first mover. 2016 they raised a massive $500 million US Series A. Today they have 400 million users, 50,000 doctors. They started as this telemedicine offering and become gradually a complete health ecosystem with both online and offline resources. Again, more closed ecosystem, which is owned by Ping An. But it's been a great platform, I think, for Ping An to acquire customers for their insurance businesses and then became their, you know, unique gate and servicing platform for any policyholders of Ping An. So that's one type of example, but I think it's very challenging for most insurers to try to do. On the opposite, MetLife launched, I think, 2-3 years ago, 360 Health. Interesting, very different approach. We learned more about them because we recently have been working more closely on some projects in Middle East with them after they launched successfully in four Asian markets, this 360 Health. And the team here had, I think, for sure, not the same, you know, not the 500 million funding of Ping An. So more limited investment. And so their approach was more partner rather than build. And really the key criteria on creating their offering was speed, how to go fast to market, flexibility, how to adapt, learn and grow what they do in a relevant manner. Consumer centricity, of course. What has been interesting to see is that how much they've been enabling each local market, and again, they launched in four already, to have their own unique go-to market, and they're, you know, defining their set of health and well-being offering that was relevant for the targeted customer they wanted to go for. So we I think this is more a good model to go, right? How the incumbent can identify maybe some strength they have, but also the capability gaps, and then partner for that. And in the category paper, I think we've mentioned a number of other examples like Generali, Cigna, AIA. Special mention, I think, to Prudential, the US one, I think, who interestingly built their first experience by partnering with Vitality in Brazil and Argentina, and I think made already a very interesting approach there. But then from there, really willing to embrace a broader ecosystem and a kind of super app approach, which is powered by actually CareVoiceOS. So again, partnering rather than building, so that's being able to make a difference.
Yeah, and as you know, partnering is a big theme of mine, partly around digital ecosystems. I think a way to differentiate today is really understand how to orchestrate those big ecosystems of partners, which are in some ways mutually exclusive, but also combined together can add so much value to each of the partners who do not have to build all capabilities from scratch. Now, so from some of the commentary you have made around collaboration with insurance companies or incumbents or established players, often what I see in my conversations with them is, you know, a lot of them have been built through merger and acquisitions. They have acquired, I wouldn't say thousands, but at least hundreds, often of core systems. And so when you actually start seeing their ability to move, to deliver new services to new customer segments is very difficult, right? Legacy, old system, trying to find a way to combine the old and new is still not that easy. Even though many of those big players are looking at their cloud infrastructure, private cloud, public cloud, using hybrid cloud in some cases to deliver really unique services to their client base. What you also see is by leveraging the work you are doing, you are enabling them to move faster to market, to touch and service, I would say, friction-free new customer segment, and often customer segment which require probably better understanding of how they build financial or health resilience. And I think also what you find is because of incentive and culture within those big organizations, they need to accept that change is part of the equation, and helping their own employee to realize that they need to think about the customer first rather than the product, and find new ways to enable them to grow in a sustainable way, right? So a lot of the things you are doing with CareVoiceOS and your team is to start challenging the old to bring some of that new thinking. And then you have the technology, right? The 5G and all those things, which enables probably better, more seamless, and much more engaged mobile-first experiences in the future. Anyhow, this takes me to my next question. We talked about the incumbent, and we also talked a little bit about the you know, the insurtech players, which are already trying to transform our world. Should we start talking a little bit more about some of the business models we've seen emerging in this field called embedded health?
Yeah, I think we can the work we've been doing on that, right, trying to map what's happening. I think we picked up four main business models. One around sales and distribution platform. I think definitely looking at how the embedded health can really change the way to acquire customers. This has been seen in others, you know, embedded finance, embedded insurance. We mentioned and some already quite significant player there. We just mentioned Ping An Health, actually Ping An Good Doctor. Quite interesting to see how this has been used as ultimately a sales and distribution platform, right? A way to acquire customers for Ping An for their insurance line. I think in that space, more we can see also the micro insurance in the health space could be also interesting, because you start to see a number of players embedding a micro insurance as a, and then new customers getting to access to insurance that they were not used to access before. So that's one category of players in a model where, of course, the monetization come into the conversion, right? Ultimately, into people buying, in this case, insurance. Then you have the pure digital health players. And that's, we mentioned, you know, earlier on, Alan, there are a number of players, we really, and usually they moved into being either a MGA or a full stack, you know, digital license insurer. They can also adopt a kind of super app approach and willing to embrace a wide range of services for being, you know, health first to help their customers. In Asia, we've seen the Prudential Asia team working with Pulse as a really dedicated mobile first health set of services. And I think to try to be positioned as a pure health players beyond even insurance. Alan, we mentioned recently, was also taking some stance around becoming more a health super app than just beyond an insurance player. So really looking at players who wants to take a significant share of how people can access to health tomorrow. And then I think it's more towards enablers or players that come, you have first the health as a service enablers. These are a category that may rely on an operating system, really a layer that can be a complementary layer to potential core system of insurers or of any players that you bring the necessary infrastructure, the necessary services that can really through a microservice create any type of service offering that is needed for different customers. These have been quite popular, and also again in the finance sector, you know, Rail Bank or FinTech OS. In our space, we've seen, I think in the US there is Shopify in life, or of course Carevoice in the insurance space. So we see definitely that type of model. So then you really here to provide a service and enable this service for other players. And finally, the ecosystem orchestrator. I think this is more how you pool different parties and you enhance the value that is delivered to customers by mutualizing or sharing data and services across those parties. That's also an interesting area where we've been seeing those you know, first embedded insurance players like Boltec, Wakan. And again, in the health space, I think Vitality was one of the early players starting to aggregate or pool a number of data from different other services into the Vitality score. And of course, what we do at Carevoice is very much into that space too.
Yes, we identified four business models, and you know, that is what we have seen emerge right now. And we are not saying this will be the only business models. These are the one we have noticed, and you know, maybe new ones will emerge. But what I think we are saying is some of those companies also are have decided to focus their core competency and capabilities in a very specific area, or the value chain, or the tech stack. And so it's interesting to see that when you look at embedded in general, either it's about accessing distribution, and we have seen that as well, you know, in Europe, you know, a lot of us using Klarna, for example, you know, whatever you are using right now, you have a Klarna in the background giving like, you know, but, you know, pay now, buy now, pay later capabilities as an example. And it's interesting to see that the same thinking can actually emerge in other subsegments or sectors, right? We've talked about pure digital players, you know, for a very long time, you know, the one who are building customer engagement and customer journey from the outset to actually drive that friction-free engagement through the mobile application. And so it's always interesting to see how in insurance, those companies have emerged many years ago, but now are refining that proposition to become, as you say, super app for the customer. I think it's also important to remember that a lot of that thinking comes potentially from the ride-hailing platforms we've seen out there, and even, you know, lesson learned from the lack of WeChat or Prudential. For the health as a service in general for me, has been an interesting one, because you can see software as a service emerging. We are talking about infrastructure as a service, whether that is insurance as a service as well, where the platform is built a little bit like the way the OS we are using every day on our Apple phones are working, right, from the ground up to develop the capability and the apps, which are enabling one to serve the customer. But from an app thinking viewpoint, it means that plurality can occur, and you can actually always extend, I think, that platform to meet the need of the customer of the future. So you can start small, but extend and actually differentiate by really understanding those multitude of services, which may serve one customer segment, but a multitude of a sub-customer segment at the macro level. And I think those macro services and that macro service thinking is becoming more and more prevalent. And when we think about digital ecosystem, again, we talked about the orchestrators, the one who are actually putting all those bits together. But we also need to recognize that there is the nodes, the apps, which are coming together to build those ecosystem. And they are not being built overnight. It takes time to build those relationships. And I'm sure you, as Carevoy, has built a many relationship with any service providers, right, to augment those relationships we are building with incumbents to help them be more relevant for the customer segments, right? And so that doesn't happen overnight. It is a journey, and it's also a journey as well for Carevoy. Am I right?
Yeah, we started again like 2018, I think, was really the first, and it's been like 4 years, right? 4 years of building the first, nurturing the first partnership, growing them, and then, you know, delivering experience, again, expanding the type of partners joining the ecosystem, changing also the way to integrate with them, now having more like our set of requirements, so that it's, you know, it's like more standardized about whatever third party joining our ecosystem, so that we can deliver them the faster even the value to insurance or the players we enable. So yeah, definitely it takes time to build an ecosystem. Yeah.
And in your case, you're straddling two areas, I would say, health as a service and digital ecosystem. So what we're also saying is those are not mutually exclusive. Yeah. Organization can straddle across the two. So tell us now, Sébastien, what should be some of the capabilities we should look at when building those type of ecosystems?
Yeah, we mapped like six capabilities, and some of them, you know, they are not necessarily all of them. Of course, the more, the best. It depends a bit also the model and which player you are. They can be grown internally or through partnership or be acquired. I would divide those categories into two categories. First, more like foundation related capabilities. Here you have first the concept of a centralized user account, or maybe decentralized if you are adopting blockchain technology. But really it's about, you know, single sign-on, privacy, security, compliance. These are important elements that you can then, you know, make the data flow across your embedded health offering. Then it's about having an integrated and configurable platform, especially having the ability to talk to insurance system. If you want to embed and enable insurance related experience, you need to be able to pull data that are coming from the insurers to give back some data. That's super important, whatever from the pre-sale or post-sale. And you need to have this platform that can enable those elements. The third foundation capability is more around, and you mentioned earlier on, the mobile first customer experience. It's critical to be able to empower any front-end solutions, because you need to engage with customers where they are, where they want, you know, to stay. You can't necessarily drive them to your app. If you are, you know, relevant, trustable enough, maybe as an insurer, they're gonna come to your app, but maybe you'll have to to bring that experience into your channel partner for specific population that you're going to service. So really being able to empower any front end, having the necessary set of APIs, SDK that power that. So that's more the foundation related capabilities. And the second set of capabilities are more like, I would say, the ones make it compelling your embedded health offering. It's first the ability to orchestrate a health and wellness ecosystem, and that ecosystem should be gradually broad enough. I think you say it takes time indeed to scout, to partner, to nurture the relevant player that could be here to complete a healthcare journey, to be able to bring value to different population and of course proven value. So this capability is of course a critical one. Then the second one is, once you have this, is really more about a data-driven customer profiling and engagement engine. You need to be able to better understand each and every individual that you're going to service, and based on their interests, behavior, needs to drive, then the relevant or activate the relevant health services that are going to be valuable for them, and then finding a way to get them coming back to your solution, finding a way that they really ongoingly, because it's the same from a user standpoint, it takes time to impact your health, it takes time to change your behavior. And so you need to help them, driving them over time. And that's, I think, another important phase. And the last capability is more around population-specific or segment-specific insurance solutions. So it's where you start to translate that embedded health offering into an influence or an impact on your insurance offering itself, right? So you're going to tailor some relevant insurance service and insurance characteristic, right? Your coverage, whatever benefits to that specific population. So you need to be able to configure it easily, those products differently for customers. You should be able to, again, bring that relevant offering in a subset of a customer experience, and then you may have different scenarios. You may start with just the health services and have a freemium model, and then turn them into then a subscriber of your full policy with more benefits, or you can after a period of time get them increase their coverage and access to more services. This is all the logic of creating more valid insurance solution out of this embedded health offering.
Super. So, we've covered so many different points today during our discussion, Sébastien. What could you say to our listener and an audience about where we go from here? What would be your last words of wisdom?
So I would say, the past 2 years I've been really witnessing a solid acceleration. I think we've seen several tech players now with a decent scale and evidence. Most of, if not all, large global health and life insurers made multiple moves. We've seen some failures. We've seen, them learning, adapting their approach. I think it's still difficult to predict which model will win. As you said earlier on, we may have new models emerging. Likely there would be multiple winners in within different subcategories. The most important thing is the needs from both consumers and all stakeholders are strong. And the value creation by transforming insurance and improving health is limitless. So that's where we see really a solid foundation for this embedded health category. And ultimately, it would remain a strong collaborative approach. So I really encourage, I think, everyone from our audience, wherever you are in your journey to adopt embedded health, to engage with different players, with different experts, reach out to Sabine, to myself, or any contributor to our category paper, share your questions, your experience, your case studies. I think this collaborative approach will allow us to create a living reference and make embedded health a winning global tech category.
Absolutely. So we have indeed written a paper called Embedded Health, the Next Growth Frontier for Insurance, which will be available on the CareVoice website, Alchemy Risk website, and Sona Global website. So if our listener want to find you, Sébastien, where should they go?
Through the paper, you have our, of course, our detailed information, but LinkedIn, quite active, so easy to reach me out.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your insight on embedded health and what we can learn and do to build the business models of the future. Thank you, Sébastien.
Thank you, Sabine.
If you like this podcast, subscribe now, share with your friends, and if you enjoyed it, please give it a 5-star review. Also, if you want to cover any specific subject with me, contact me on Instagram under Sabine VDL Officials or LinkedIn under Sabine van der Linden. Thank you.